Awesome. Thank you, ladies. If you got a Bible, would you grab it, please? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to continue our series looking at some spiritual gifts this morning. We are walking through this book. We've done it since August 25th is when we started. We're going to take a little two-week break for the next couple of weeks looking at deacons as we have our election. But today I want to look at the first 11 verses of chapter 12. This is the fourth section of the whole book. Let me go quickly through this really quick. We've been looking at this book in its entirety since August 25th, and Paul has covered a lot of things. And if we could go back, I've said it a lot, the wheels have kind of come off. Paul has got word at this church in Corinth. Things are not going well. It's just they're being selfish, they're being proud, they're being divisive. He has looked at divisions, he's looked at the cross, he's looked at their faith, he's looked at the foundation of being Christ, he looked at their challenges, we looked at sex and marriage and all these things about how we can be faithful in our careers and our jobs, all these things. The bottom line is he's trying to correct what is going wrong within the church. I said it last week, if you want to feel better about our church, we just got to read the book of Corinthians and we'll feel a lot better about ourselves. But the goal is not just to sling mud and look about how bad they are. The goal of the text is for us to apply and to learn and to not fall in the same traps and in the same temptations that they have. Today, we're going to look at the first 11 verses, looking at this idea of spiritual gifts. If you will recall, before we stand and read our text, we are in the fourth section of the whole book, dealing with worship gatherings. We've dealt with a lot of different stuff, but just to get quickly to the point, we are in section 4 of this whole book. We talked about the Lord's Supper last week. We talked about what it looks like to basically how they have turned everything about them and their pride, and they've messed up the worship gatherings, and it's a little chaotic, and Paul is going to correct them. Today is going to be the same thing as he looks at chapter 12. So if we would, let's stand. I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. If you forgot your Bible, there's a blue hardback one in front of you, or you can read the old Sky Bible on the wall if you want to do that one. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, would you read along with me, verses 1 through 11. Paul speaking says, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or another, you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed.' And no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, distinguishing between the kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of the one of the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines." Let's pray together. If you would, I say it every week, just take a deep breath, relax for just a minute, and in your own heart, in your own way, would you just ask the Lord to speak to you today as we cover a variety of things, but would you just ask the Spirit of God to move in this place and that your heart will be receptive, and if you don't mind, say a prayer for me that I would speak the words that he would have us to this morning. Father, it's a privilege to come. For everybody in this room, the privilege to gather and to open up our Bibles and to sing songs to you and about you and to get to learn and grow in this space freely. I pray for everybody here, young and old, that our hearts would be receptive, that collectively as a church you would change us in ways that only you can do it. And we ask it in the great name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. a couple of things before we go through the text. I do want to say a couple of things. Anytime you talk about gifts, anytime you talk about spiritual gifts, there's always debate. There's always some that would just want to go, psh, like, whatever, I don't want to talk about that. That's just a non-issue for me. That's crazy. That's out there. That's crazy. We don't talk about that. And then there's the others that would be called just as crazy, but they make it the most ultimate thing ever as a test of one's spirituality. And what Paul is trying to do here, we've got to understand Corinth because there's a lot of things that are taking place here. But in this issue, I want us to understand that the gift of speaking in tongues and healings and all these things, we're going to talk about that later, but the spiritual gifts is a secondary issue. It is an open-handed issue to where there might be some debate on it. You may practice or believe something differently, and there are close-handed things. We talked about that from the beginning of this whole book. Close-handed issues are things like Jesus alone is the way and the truth and the life for the forgiveness of sin. That is the gospel. That's what it's all about. Now, there are reasons why there are other churches, other denominations, and other practices, and even in this church itself, some of us, we may believe and we may practice differently. So the point is to not say, let's divide into camps and let's just try to ignore one and do the other. The point is I want us to understand that there is room here. This is not an exhaustive study on gifts. This is not something that I want us to say, hey, this is what's right, this is what's wrong. The scripture is going to teach us and show us how we're supposed to apply these things. The second thing I want us to hear today before we get into this is that today is not going to, take a deep breath, is not an exhaustive study of spiritual gifts. Okay, I'm not going to do that. We're not going to cover that today. We're going to talk about things later on, tongues and things like that's going to come later because Paul speaks specifically to that. This is an introductory section of the text where Paul is going to move later in chapter 12 when he's going to do some powerful things and say, hey, we're all part of the same team, one body, many parts. We all have a role within the fellowship. And today is just the tip of the iceberg, and we're going to get rolling with that later. But what we're going to see is that all of these gifts, all of these abilities, everything about it, as Josh said with the children, we all have a role in the fellowship. We all have a role in the body of Christ. And any gift or ability or anything that God has entrusted to you, that's a big word, is not for you alone. It is not to build you up, to beat your chest, to talk about how spiritual you are. The gifts given by the Lord himself are to build up his church and to edify Jesus. Anything short of that, you've made it just like the Corinthians have. You made it all about you. So I just wanted to unpack those things today because I think it's fair to say that spiritual gifts and giftings is one of the most hijacked, abused teachings within the church. Some of us have abused it and made it a selfish litmus test of our spirituality, and others have abused it by saying we neglect it, we push it away, and we miss out on what God can do in us and through us by his Spirit because it's something that's different and we don't really have information about that. So I think it goes both ways. The goal of it today is to see what the Bible says and what the text says. But it's vital for the church. And just like anything that's vital for the church, Satan would love to persuade us or to dissuade us or to produce counterfeits for us that we can buy into. One commentary put it this way before we do our text. Listen to this. He says, Satan would love to provide counterfeits for us because they are absolutely necessary to the life and the functioning of the church. The church is not a spectator sport. The church is not a professional pulpitism financed by lay spectators who sit out there and watch it happen. The church is a living, breathing organism that functions as life and breath. And in its functioning, and if it's functioning, is the basis of ministry, and every member has a role and a responsibility. And if that's what it means to serve the body, every one of us is a member of that body. We have a function in harmony and symphony with every other member. The point is this, is that if the Lord would love for us to come together with our gifts and abilities to bring up the church, I don't know why I always do this, it's like my only symbol I know to do when I'm preaching. But when the Lord would come to bring us together in unity, Satan would love to bring us apart. He would love to persuade or dissuade you with something else to think, oh, no, that's not right. Or to get you to start thinking it's about something else. Now, questions you may have before we get to verse 1. Spiritual gifts, what are they? How many are there? What are mine? Do I need to seek after them? Does God give them to me? Are there miraculous gifts? Do they still happen? What's the deal with tongues and healings? And are they still active? Are they gone? Or what's going to happen? And we're not going to get to all that today. But I want us to understand that Corinth, just like every week, we have to understand Corinth to understand the picture of the text. They have struggled with divisions and selfishness and perversions and rebellion and preoccupation with worldliness and abuse of liberties and freedoms, even the Lord's Supper. And just like that, they abused, hear this, spiritual gifts. And their worship services were just chaos. And Paul's going to step in. Just like last week, we're going to talk about it. Let's look at verse 1. He's going to start off and he's going to say, now, about these gifts of the Spirit, read along with me. Brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Paul turns his posture in verse 1 as this new chapter begins. I know it's added later, chapters and verses, but he turns his posture again. He's given his attention back to these issues that the Corinthians have brought. They've been telling him, hey, what's going on here? And Paul's saying, hey, listen up. I want to press into you. I want to give you guys more than just information. Are you with me? He is emphatically saying, this is vital. You can't just shrug your shoulders and say, I don't know. But as a Baptist church, can I be honest with you? That's what so many of us do. I know some of you come from different backgrounds or whatever, but so often when it comes to the things, the gifts of the Spirit, so often we go, I don't know. And Paul's saying, that day's over. It's not just passing information to you so that you have some mental authority on this. He says, I want you to be informed as to live and to function as you're supposed to. You need to understand what these gifts are. You need to understand how they function, what they are purposed for. So listen up, pay attention, no more, I don't know. We're not just going to throw up our hands and shrug our shoulders. And it's almost missed, but at the first part of verse 1, look at your Bible. Paul gives, this is important, the origin of spiritual gifts. I know it seems kind of redundant, but you need to hear this. Now, about these gifts, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be informed. It's almost missed. There are a lot of preachers and teachers and things out there that would like to say that you can earn these, you got to get them, but here's the thing. Paul is emphatically going to tell them that these are gifts from the Lord, ultimately given. Look at verse 2 through 3. You know that when you were pagans, he's going to look at their background. He says, you know when you were pagans, I'll explain that in just a minute, some of you were influenced or led astray by mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. In this text, pagan means Gentiles, non-Jewish belief, but more specifically to this text, it refers to those who are non-Christians. Basically, somebody who does not know Jesus. So they were pagan. They were heathen. They were carried away by these. They were led astray. Paul uses a military term. He says, you were taken captive and led astray by these idols. And he's getting them to refer back to what life was like before they knew Jesus, kind of like in Ephesians chapter 2. They were dead in sin. They were not born again. They were not made alive in Jesus. And they were victims of religious idolatry in their world. And in verse 3, the premise of verse 3 is he's trying to distinguish between a Jesus follower and somebody who's not following Jesus. Nobody who's going to follow Jesus is going to say this. And nobody who's not following Jesus is going to say this. Only those who are filled with the Spirit are going to say, Jesus is Lord. And it's kind of within the text here, but you got to see it because there is a discrepancy here where Paul is looking around, and I think there was some urgency of who the true followers are and who aren't. And this chaos of their service, and they're speaking, and they're doing all these things. And so Paul paints a picture of who's following Jesus and who's not. He's going to observe these folks, and in the text here in a minute, you're going to see that they're going to talk about tongues and their speech, and Paul's going to say there's something off, it's a little iffy, it's not settling well for the church, and we're going to talk about that later, but there's people in this church that are not followers of Jesus. And Paul is going to unpack some of the gifts here in verses 4 through 6. Let's read this, and he's going to try to distinguish and show them what these are and what they're about. It's not an exhaustive list, but let's unpack it just for a second. He says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them all. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, and in everyone, it is the same God at work. These Corinthians have categorized people. Do you remember last week, if you were here with the Lord's Supper, the rich eat first? It was like the harvest meal. Bring your tax return. Show us what you got. Show us how much you make. If you make this amount of money, you get to go first. The poor come later. There may not be any left or a place to sit, but that's on you. You get here earlier if you want to next time. So what they have done, everything about their being and their worship has segregated people. It has divided people. It has categorized people. And even again, when it comes to spiritual gifts, they're trying to categorize people of here's the super spiritual, here's the super gifted, and here's the not so gifted. And when somebody sees somebody else, rather than rejoicing in what God has called them and empowered them to do, oh man, they walk around like Eeyore just saying, oh, I don't have any gifts. Anybody get that reference? Eeyore, get it? Anybody? No? Thank you too, you guys. Rather than rejoicing of, look what God has blessed them with and what they're able to do to build up the body of Christ, they resent them or question them because they, in turn, do not have as good a gift as they have. Like a child with a toy that's not happy for what they have because of what somebody else has. So Paul says there's different kinds, but there's unity here. The same Spirit's going to distribute them. They're different kinds of service, but the same Lord. They're different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it's the same God at work. I want you to hear this. There are different gifts within the body of Christ. And I firmly believe that I don't think that Scripture details every one of them. I don't think any of Paul's list is to say, if you don't have one of these that is printed, then that's not something of the Lord. I think that's a little bit extreme. But I think what is true and what is real on things like in Romans chapter 12, maybe 4 through 8, I think we have it on the screen, where Paul says, for just as each of us has one body with many members. You want to talk about church membership? You want to talk about being a part of the body of Christ? What it means to join a fellowship? Not to sit in a pew and just listen and learn and leave, but to be a part of a fellowship, to be a member of the body of Christ? It says they don't all have the same function. So we in Christ, though are many, we form one body. And each member belongs to the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then to encourage. If it's giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. Excuse me. If it is to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. The Scriptures do not give an exhaustive list. But Paul, in multiple places, gives us these lists to show us that there are different ways to serve the body of Christ. If you think your gifts, your ability, your whatever that God has wired you special, if you believe that that is just going to terminate on you and it's just for your own spiritual walk or your journey, I think you're missing something. The goal of spiritual gifts is not to build you up. Let me repeat this again. The goal of spiritual gifts is not to build you up to make you a spiritual person. The goal of spiritual gifts is to build up the fellowship of Christ, the church, the body. And what Paul is doing, here comes my hand motion, ready? What Paul is doing is saying, we all belong to each other. Every one of us. You've got a role that I do not have. There are some of you in this room, hear this, that you would never stand on this stage and you would never preach or teach or talk in front of anybody. The Lord works those and He crafts those, but what I'm doing is no more spiritual gifting than somebody who is a gift of encouragement. Let me say that again. What I'm doing on this stage is no more spiritual, no more higher whatever, than somebody who loves somebody, that's a prayer warrior, that is showing mercy and kindness and gentleness, that is a giving person. Nope, I'm not better than you. Just because I'm on a stage, just because you could teach a Sunday school class doesn't mean you're better. That's the problem of the Corinthian churches. They begin to think, well, I'm better than you, and you're better than me, but look what they can do. They can talk in tongues, and they can interpret it. They can do all these things. And bit by bit, and pride by pride, they begin to splinter and pull apart. So Paul's saying, we belong together. It's got to be a good country song, I'm sure. We belong together. Appreciate that. The gifts, I'm going to repeat this over and over, are to build up the church and make much of Jesus. If it doesn't bring us together, then it's not of the Lord. It's not something that the Lord wants to tear us apart. It's not about you. And any pastor, author, book, sermon, teaching that tries to imply that you need to reach a special level of spirituality, or if you get this gift, or you need to get this just to get... It's garbage, and it's garbage at best, and it's a lie from the pit of hell to tell you that you're not as spiritual as somebody else because you don't have what they have. And I can't tell you how many times dealing with youth ministry or even adults that are no different, we're just a bunch of big kids that are questioning and wondering how they can serve the kingdom of God because they don't have what somebody else has. And it's garbage. That's not the Greek word, it's just garbage. And it's a lie that so many of us have built up and so many of us have bought into. Strong words, but it's frustrating to see that. It's a humbling thing. But in Corinth, they corrupted it all. They were not content with the gifts that God has given them, and frankly, they wanted what others had. It was their pride, it was their egos. Spiritual gifts are not rewards that you have to merit or attain. As Josh said with the kids, it's a gift. Not earned, but given to be stewarded by God Himself for the church. And to build unity amongst us. That's why I believe that's why Satan wants to destroy, to get people like us to say, well, I don't believe in all that stuff, and to marginalize it over here so that we can be basically a flatline church that doesn't want to do anything for the kingdom because we just say, oh, I'm not comfortable with that, it's over here. Or to abuse it and make it all about that. But look at verse 7. He says to each one is important there. He says to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. You know why each one in verse 7 is important? Because just like, I think it's fantastic what the children's sermon was about, each one of the body, the Spirit-filled, born again, made alive, son and daughter of God, everyone filled with the Spirit of God is gifted. So if you think, hear me, I'm going to look at you this morning. If you think that there's nothing that God could do and you're thinking, I'm just a nobody, I'm just walking around here, and I've got nothing to contribute, that is garbage and that is a lie, that is baloney, whatever analogy you want to give it, it's not true. There's nothing that's true in that. And Satan would love for you to sit on your hands your whole life and think, I've got nothing to contribute, or for you to create these little comfort zones that are lies to think, well, I can never do that. I can never talk publicly. I can never pray. I can never give. I can never serve. And people sit their whole lives in communities of faith doing nothing for the kingdom because they've created comfort zones around them or where they think they should serve. And I've said it before, where God's out here saying, yeah, this is where you're going to be. This is where I work through you. This is not where you work. This is where I work through you. And that's what gets exciting to see the church become the church. Each one, everyone has a role. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others, that's the body, as faithful stewards of God's grace in all the various forms. The other big word in verse 7 is the manifestation. Manifestation means to make clear, to make visible, to make known. This is not where God's going to give you a gift or an ability to hide or just to allow it to terminate on you. So if you say, I have the gift of isolation and quietness and not talking to anybody, I would question that one. To make it visible, to make the kingdom of God visible, to reveal Himself through His people. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every Christian for the common good of the body of Christ and to make much of Jesus. And in verses 8 through 10, what he's going to do is he's going to give a couple of them. What I want to do, again, I'm going to clarify some of these and explain kind of what they're wrestling with. And then I want to get to verse 11 as kind of the culmination of today. But look at verse 8 through 10. After making sure everybody knows each one has been given a gift, this manifestation to be visible, to make known, to be clear, for the common good of the body of Christ and to make much of Jesus. After he says that, verse 8 says, to one, now look at the differences here, to one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between the spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. Now, I'll hit pause for just a minute. Please understand, this is not an exhaustive list to where if you don't fall right into one of those, then you're out. But let me unpack a few of these. The first one, he says, is message of wisdom and knowledge. It's very basic. Somebody who has utterances of words of wisdom. And these are the people that you think, I'm going to go to them for counsel, for advice. What do I do? I've lost my job. I don't know what to do in life. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do, what the Lord's doing. And those individuals, those men and women, or maybe teenagers that you can go to and just say, could you help me understand this? I don't understand what's going on. And they speak truth and they speak wisdom. Some of you have that. Some of you in this very room are people that I've talked to and I've had to say, I don't understand. Help me have clarity on this. This ability to be simply wise in daily living. Insight. Clarity. The second one, as we move fast, is faith. This spiritual gift of faith is not saving faith that all born-again Christians have, that God grants for all believers. But we're talking about a special revelation, a special spiritual faith, if you will. There's an old saying that faith is only as strong as its object. So if you put your faith in your money, it's going to fall through. If you put your faith in your job, it's going to fall through. If you put your faith in your spouse, she or he are going to fall through. I want to take a minute to say this because this is one of those moments where you see people of faith that do things that do not make sense. Now, let me talk just honest with you for a minute. I've seen this and you've seen it too. Missionaries who are going to go to places in the world that they could literally die for their travels and their faith. Yet they go, yet they forsake all their stuff and they go and they leave their family behind common people would be like, why would you do that? That's crazy. And yet they go and they do. When people lose a loved one and yet they cling to hope in Christ and the promises. When uncertainty comes crashing in, when the diagnosis comes in and it's told in the hospital that it's going to be a long road and the people of faith cling together and they stand together and it's going to be one step at a time. When marriages fall apart, but there's a clinging to of hope and faith in Christ. When life is unsure and people hold on to the scriptures and hold on to Jesus as though everything depended on it. I've seen it. I have witnessed it. I have been encouraged. There are so many times, I'm going to say this as the pastor of this church, but I've showed up and I've tried to encourage and love people and I leave thinking, man, those people bless me. Wow. Seeing the church in action and people of faith that are looking into uncertainty and that God has given them in that moment the spiritual gift of faith and for no other reason other than the fact that God is who He is and He's doing what He says He's going to do and people cling on to faith and hope when nothing in the world would show them why. That's what that's talking about. So faith is only as strong as its object. And God help us, if our faith is in anything other than King Jesus, it's going to fall through. Period. But these moments of faith build up the church and the body, and they make much of Jesus. I've never walked away from somebody that I've looked at and think, oh, the faith, and thought, man, they're the best people ever. No, I'm thinking they must believe in this Jesus. He is real. It's not a childhood story. This is King Jesus. When everything else in the world would say, just let it go. It's not a, don't believe. Nothing makes sense. And yet they cling to faith. It amplifies the gospel. It makes much of Jesus. And so we claim 2 Corinthians 4 later on. And that's the next book. But when Paul says we're hard pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We are perplexed, but we are not in despair. We are persecuted, but we're not abandoned. We are struck down, but we are not destroyed. That's the faith. Quickly, healings and powers is the next one. It's this ability to work miracles and signs and wonders, including but not limited to healings and miraculous things. I could do a whole series on this, but basically from the old times of the Old Testament, God has designed these signs and wonders with one single purpose in mind. That was to reveal Himself. It was the revelation of God. Everything that He did, these miraculous things, was not to amplify any person on the planet, but was to reveal Himself to creation. And with the summation of the Old Testament, there was no need for that left. And what we have in church history or human history is 400 years of silence between the Old and the New Testament, where God was revealing squat. I've done a lot of good words today. Baloney, squat. Okay, are you with me? Okay, God has revealed nothing, nada. There's nothing. It's just silence. He hasn't revealed himself at all. And then here comes Jesus. The New Testament, miracles still happen. God revealing himself, the coming of the Messiah. Jesus performed miracles to reveal his divinity, God's self-revelation to humanity. Now, God can and he will do miracles as he deems, but they may look different. The parting of the Red Sea may not happen in our life, but he may part the Red Sea in some area of faith and in trial. He may perform a miracle that we've never seen before in a different way. I think it's fair to say miracles, signs, and wonders of God are still happening in this very moment. God can still do whatever he wants if he desires. And as we look at it, we have the completion of the New Testament, where God has fully disclosed himself with a canon of scripture we have. Some of the miracle signs and wonders are going to look a little bit different. Now, there's some fancy words, and I'm not going to stand up here because there's a lot of theologians. There's cessationalism that basically say that basically all the gifts and the bill, all that kind of stuff's gone with the coming of the New Testament. I'm not going to go that extreme. But I'm also not going to dismiss the fact that miracles and signs and wonders still happen today. God is always working miracles. If you don't believe it, just take a deep breath. Look around and see what God's doing. And sometimes we're not looking in the right spots, or sometimes it may look differently than we think. Quickly, the next one is prophecy. This is not, in this context, in this text, is not talking about foretelling the future or predicting the future as we read in the Old Testament. In the Greek word prophecy here is prophetia, which I'm not trying to sound smart, I'm not. It just basically means that it's reporting something that God has revealed. I've had that happen to me. It happened 2 weeks ago. Somebody came in and said, God just kind of spoke to me. I just needed to tell you this. I didn't run him out of my office and say, no, we don't do that anymore around here. You know, I didn't do that. I listened to it because that's true. When God has weighed something on their heart and said, I just want to tell you something. I've had people stop by my house and say, I just feel the Lord has convicted me. I just got to tell you this. Some of you done that to others and said, Lord's just calling me. I just need to talk to you. I just need to pray with you. I just feel like he's got a message. I just want to tell you something. That benefits the church. It builds up believers. It makes much of Jesus. It can still happen, and it does still happen. The Lord can clearly speak to my heart and tell me, go talk to them. Give them this word of wisdom. Go give them this insight. Go pray and encourage them for the benefit of the church and for the edification of Christ. Last two things before we move to verse 11 is discerning the spirits. I think it's fair to say when we talk about, you know, when it comes to spiritual warfare, the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God is not the only spirit. There is a spiritual battle that takes place in all aspects and all things. But I've heard those conversations where somebody's feeling convicted or a very weighty thing in their life, and they've come to me and they said, how do I know if this is of the God or not? I'm feeling discouraged. I'm feeling encouraged. I'm feeling all these things. And I've had those conversations too of like, this is what I'm feeling in my heart. How do I know? And I always point them, if it goes against the word of God, it's not going to be of the Lord. Those people in life that are spiritually gifted to tell the difference between what is of God and what is not. And last, but certainly not least, is the tongues and interpretation of tongues. I'm not going to talk about that today because that's coming up later. So come back in a few weeks. We're going to pack all that with detail. But I want to focus on verse 11 as I wrap up. I've covered a lot of things, and that's pretty quickly. But look at verse 11. In light of the things that we spoke, all the things we just mentioned, every bit of it, all of these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So how many Christians have gifts? All of them. Are you a believer in Christ? Then you are gifted by the Lord himself. You may not know it. You may not get it. You may not even understand it. You may not even want to know it. But the scriptures teach us, to that question earlier, who has spiritual gifts? Who has this? As we talked with the children, every one of us are a jingle block, and it takes everybody. All of these gifts are the work of the same Spirit. He distributes them to each as he determines. And there are some pastors out there and preachers and teachers that want to say, you got to have enough faith. You got to give a little bit more. You got to be more faithful to get to another hierarchy. And then you can start to speak. You can start to do. You can start to be. You can have all these things. And that is not true. What the Bible teaches, it says in verse 11, that he's going to do it as he determines. He's going to distribute those gifts as he determines. So in the Corinthian church, they don't have to look around and think, well, Billy Bob over there can talk better than I can. And I keep saying Billy Bob. I don't know who those people are. But so-and-so can speak better. So-and-so has the gift of this and this and this. And they can do tongues. And they can interpret. It's contentment. Now, hear me. I don't want to lose you on this. It is being content with what God has wired you to be. It is no different than a parent telling their beautiful young daughter or their handsome son or their child growing up saying that God made you special the way that you are. Quit trying to be like everybody else. You be you. That's what Paul's trying to say, that God has wired everybody special, and everybody that is born again, made alive in Christ, is filled with the Spirit of God and is wired uniquely special. And it's going to look different, more than likely, than the person sitting next to you. Just like when we talk to our beautiful babies and say, that you are beautiful, you are special. I'm glad nobody's sitting right here. That you're special and you're beautiful. And I don't care what anybody says, that God made you special. He's going to use you because you are great and you are mighty. You are special. You're going to make much of him. You be you and don't worry about anybody else. That's what Paul's trying to do. Be you. Build up the church. And if you don't know how God has gifted you or wired you special, then have conversations with people. Talk with people. Say, I've just sat on my hands my whole life and I didn't know anything about this stuff and I don't really know how or what God can do. Those are good conversations to have with people. Come talk to me or to Josh or find a friend or maybe a Sunday school teacher or somebody and say, hey, let's talk this out a little bit. God, in his infinite wisdom, as I close, brings people together, different races, different backgrounds, different upbringings. We gather in the church, as the church, under the banner of Jesus Christ, and he has given each of us a role. He is about establishing his kingdom on this earth. It is not just about coming here on Sundays and tipping our hat and nodding to Jesus and going back to our life. He is about establishing his kingdom on this earth, and he's going to use every one of his people to make much of him. The question is not so much, has he gifted you? The question is, if you are a child of God, how are you using what he's given you? How are you stewarding? How are you using what he's entrusted you with? It is not about you. It is not about your spirituality. It is not about making or building your own kingdom. It is about building up the body of Christ. And that can be conversation by conversation. That can be hospital room by hospital room. That can be phone call or text messages or giving and praying and serving. It can look in so many different things. But I will say this. There is nowhere in Scripture that I found that somebody who claims to be a follower of Jesus can opt out and say that this is not really for me. That must be for the super spiritual people. So my prayer today is that everybody who in their heart knows Christ as Savior, that we would just pray and say, God, would you reveal to me how I am supposed to serve? How am I gifted? How am I wired? How can I build up the fellowship? How can I make much of Jesus? And how can I advance the kingdom of God in whatever time he gives you on this planet? So would you pray with me? I don't know where you are today or how this lands on you. It may be a little different. It may be kind of hard to hear. Or maybe it's encouraging for somebody today. If you just take a deep breath and would just ask the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. Maybe to reveal and show you kind of how he's gifted you. Maybe somebody in this room knows exactly how God is gifted, but you've kind of been disobedient. You've kind of created comfort zones and areas of comfortability where you don't want to step out. Just allow him to speak to your heart and let him use you the way that he wants to for his church and to make much of him.